Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey there, I've got a short bonus episode for you today. This is Live Creative Now, episode 9, and I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Today I am answering a question from Leo. Leo writes, I would love to hear more about your way of dealing with the issue of saying no to things that you would like to do in order to be able to say yes to things you would like to do even more. I definitely have too many things going on in my life outside of work. Whenever I start thinking about which ones to let go, even temporarily, I get stressed out. How do you make these decisions? Do you feel it in your body? Which ones are a no and which ones are yes? Do you think it through in your mind? Do you have overarching goals and try to fit your activities to these goals? What do you do in periods when it is not clear whether there are any overarching goals? Wow, Leo, this is such a great question. And first of all, I will say that that little word, no, which is one of the first words that we practiced when we were, 2 years old, the terrible twos, we loved saying no. It was so empowering to be able to say no as a two-year-old, right? As an adult, it is really hard for so many of us to say no. It's hard to say no to things that we don't want to do when we feel a sense of obligation to other people, right? And it's even harder to say no to things that you really want to do, but know that if you want to do these other things that are even more important to you, you have to learn how to say no. You can't do everything all at the same time. Boy, is that hard, and boy, is that stressful, and I so relate to that. And I will not say that I do this perfectly at all, but what I can tell you is that the times when I'm better at saying no, life goes better. So, to answer your specific questions, how do I make these decisions? Do I feel it in my body which ones are a no and which ones are a yes? I would say yes. In general, the more I can pay attention to my body, that's my golden formula, self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. The more I can be mindful, the more I can be conscious and aware of how I'm feeling, what I'm feeling in my body, that's phenomenally helpful. So yes, absolutely. That works best when I am able to get in touch with my body in terms of what's a no and what's a yes. That still doesn't always help me all the way, right? Might be two things that I really, really want to do. So just a few months ago, I got really excited about learning to play those harmonicas that previous boyfriend had given me. And I just thought it would be so cool to be able to whip out a harmonica and play some really cool blues tune and just jam, you know, how cool would that be? And I also have this little penny whistle that I won as part of some raffle or something. I got a basket full of shakers and various different noisemakers and a penny whistle. And I'd never even taken it out of the package. And I thought, man, how cool would that be to be able to play the penny whistle really well, right? So I actually went to the music store and I bought some books on teach yourself to play harmonica and teach yourself to play the penny whistle. And for maybe a week or several days, every day I would put some time into practicing these little instruments, and it was really fun. And because I was putting all this time into playing those instruments and learning them from scratch, I wasn't able to put as much time or any time into other things like working with my looper, my looping app on my iPad, which was something I needed to be able to master to some degree in order to perform in my living room tour house concerts. I wasn't able to put the time into painting because I was putting the time into learning these new instruments. So at a certain point, I had to step back and realize, wait a minute, yeah, I really want to learn how to play the harmonica and I really want to learn how to play the penny whistle. But I've got these concerts coming up, and the more important for me to do right now thing is to get comfortable and masterful, feel competent using my looping app on my iPad and practicing the skills that I'm going to be actually using in my living room tour house concerts. So I made the really painful decision to set the penny whistle down, set the harmonica down. I still get to pick them up as, you know, I just want to play around for a little bit time, but I made the hard decision to not put my dedicated practice focus time into those two instruments and to concentrate on the instrument that I was actually going to be using more, you know, sooner. Really, really hard. And, you know, that is like the 50 gazillionth time that something like that has happened to me. Another example is several years ago, I went through a yoga teacher training program. And I went through the program at the time because I knew I was doing a lot of yoga and I had done yoga for years, but I didn't really understand what I was supposed to be feeling in different postures. And people would say to me, oh, you must be a yoga teacher because I'm flexible and I have a dance background. And so I looked like I knew what I was doing, but I didn't really know what I was doing. And I wanted to get deeper into my yoga practice. And I also know that I love to teach. And I thought, yeah, you know, maybe I'll end up teaching yoga. That would be really cool. So I did this pretty intensive yoga teacher training over the course of a summer. And I never actually got certified because there was an apprenticeship program that I was going to need to go through and a written exam. And I never did those things because at the time it wasn't so important for me, but I did get offered a job to teach at a yoga studio. And I did that for about 4 months and I enjoyed it while I was there. There were only 5 or 6 people in the class usually. And I knew that it was going to take a long time to build up a yoga teaching practice that would give me a return on investment, you know, that would make it worth all the time and energy that I was putting into it and the rush hour traffic I was driving through. I was probably making minimum wage to teach these classes. And although I really enjoyed them, I had to take a hard look. There was too much going on in my life. As usual, I'm like nature. I abhor a vacuum in my schedule. So I had packed my schedule, overpacked my schedule. Something had to give. And it was really painful to let go of the yoga teaching, but I knew in my gut, like that was a body level that I just knew that was the thing that had to go. Yes, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't at the same level of feeding me and nourishing me as the other things that I was doing. So I had to say no to the yoga teaching in order to say yes to the other things and to not completely burn myself out. You also ask, Leo, whether I think it through in my mind. Yes, I do. I think it through a lot. I journal about it a lot. So absolutely. And then you ask, do you have overarching goals and try to fit your activities to these goals? I do. Do I always fit my activities to the goals? No, I don't. But yes, I think about that a lot. And that is one of the things that really does help me. For example, with the harmonica and the penny whistle, my overarching goal was to be able to perform comfortably, confidently, competently at my living room tour house concerts. And I knew I wanted to be able to use my looping app. And that if I were to play the penny whistle and the harmonica, that would be a tiny, tiny component of it. And was way more important for me to feel more capable and competent and confident about using the looper. So yes, that helped me a lot to be able to let go of putting lots and lots of practice time into the harmonica and penny whistle in favor of putting that practice time into using my looping station. And then you ask, what do you do in periods where it's not clear whether there are any overarching goals? That is a great question. So Leo, I feel like I always have some kind of overarching goal in my life. I'm trying to remember the last time I didn't feel like I had some kind of overarching goal, and it was quite a while ago. When you're not clear, when I'm not clear, if I were not clear, what I would do is probably do a lot of journaling, a lot of processing to think about what is really important to me. What is the next goal? I'm such a goal-oriented person, Leo. I am always looking for the next target to shoot for. So that's part of my makeup. I'm just kind of wired that way. And I know not everybody is. So if you're not wired that way, if you can't land on an overarching goal, you know, allow yourself to do some processing and writing and thinking about it. And if you don't have an overarching goal, you know, then in a way, maybe it makes it a little bit easier. In some ways, it's harder because there's no, you know, it doesn't give you an easy way to prioritize. But on the other hand, kind of whatever you pick is going to be fine, right? So one thing that I've done a lot in my life when trying to determine what I'm going to focus my energy on is kind of the equivalent of putting up a dartboard and throwing darts. Just like, I've got 5 different things I would really love to be doing. If I don't have an overarching goal to tie one of those to, then it really doesn't matter. Pick one, pick anyone. It's really a lot like rule number 5 on my keys to creative flow, rules for the creative sandbox. Just start anywhere. If you're stuck, just start. Start anywhere. It doesn't matter. If you're stuck, choosing between which of your many things that you'd like to work on to choose and to put energy into, doesn't matter. Pick one. So that's what I would say about that. So to recap, when you've got too many things in your life and it's stressing you out, thinking about which ones to let go of, which ones to focus on, how do you make those decisions? First off, absolutely pay attention to your body. The more awareness, the more mindfulness you can cultivate, the more helpful that will be in helping you determine what to say yes to and what to say no to, what to say temporary no to and what to say permanent no to, right? Absolutely think it through. Absolutely process. Journaling is such a brilliant processing tool. Oh, another one I didn't mention is talking with other people. Oh my gosh, it's so phenomenally helpful to have a sounding board, somebody who can really listen to you, not try to solve your problems for you, but simply listen with love and respect and no judgment. If you can find people like that in your life, they're golden. I can't tell you how many times just talking about a decision that I'm trying to make to somebody who's able to listen to me and not make the decision for me, but just listen, enables me to find that answer inside of myself. So that's a big one too. If you have overarching goals, then that can help you suss out which ones you want to say yes to and which ones you want to put on a shelf. And if you don't have any overarching goals, throw a dart, and because it doesn't matter which one you pick for now. And always remember that the ones that you put on a shelf don't have to be permanently dissed. I can at any time in my life decide, you know what? Now is the time I want to dive into learning to play the harmonica and learning to play the penny whistle. Just because I have them on the shelf for now doesn't mean that I can't dive into that later, right? So Leo, I hope that helps you. I am sure there are lots of people who have similar questions, so thanks for asking this question. You're awesome. And that's it for today. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. I love being able to share with you. I imagine you sitting in a room with me and us having a conversation. If you are getting value out of this podcast, I would absolutely love it if you would leave a review over on iTunes. I read those reviews. I really take them into consideration. So it's really helpful to get your feedback. And also, your reviews on iTunes make a huge difference in how the show is ranked. And that makes a big difference in helping other people find it. And that helps grow the creative uprising. So you can play a really important role in this movement simply by leaving an iTunes review. Easy breezy. Plus, I would just be enormously grateful. And also, if you have a question about living a full color creative life that you'd like me to address on the show, type it into your review and you might just hear it featured on a future episode. Because to incentivize you to leave a review, I prioritize questions that are left in reviews. If you want me to give you a shout out, be sure to leave your Twitter ID in the review so that I can tweet you if I use it in the show. And if you would like your voice on the show, you can leave me a voice message over at livecreativenow.com. But remember, if you leave me a voice message, also leave your question in a review on iTunes in order to get higher priority. So that's it. Thanks again for joining me. And until next time, go get creating. Mwah! Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.